listening to Kevin McCullough Radio. Breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Kevin McCullough, and here we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Obliterating confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
Coming up, a very frightening scenario played itself out in the nation's capital yesterday. And a little bit later on, people that still don't get the distinctions between the genders. We'll talk about all of it coming straight up here on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
And he's playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, gang. Welcome to Tuesday. Glad you're with us. So to recap the series of events over the last few days, you had the administration late last week, Thursday, sign a proclamation that the president himself signed, declaring that this coming Sunday, this last Sunday, Easter Sunday, would be the Transgender Day of Visibility for the nation. And there was a lengthy proclamation that was written. He signed his name to it, and that's what it became, the day, according. And if you watched the social media all day on Sunday, the stuff that the White House put out, it was nothing but, you know, this is the day of visibility, and we embrace you, and we keep you visible, and we love you, and all this stuff. And it was all color-coded and themed and everything else into the channel of this particular declaration, this effort. Well, as you can imagine, myself, others across the punditry world that speak out on things when we feel like we're needing to, brought everyone's attention to the fact that this flew straight in the face of believers that would be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus on the most important day in the Christian calendar. The kind of pinnacle of the argument as to whether or not Jesus is God is the resurrection. And if the resurrection didn't happen, then every Christian believer throughout all of history is doomed. If it did, every non-believer throughout all of history is doomed. So there's kind of it's kind of important. But here's the thing. We made our case. I wrote a column about it. I spoke about this yesterday on the show. News channels covered it. People wrote about it on social media. People wrote about it in commentaries. People spoke about it on radio and television all weekend long. This went, and not just to conservative outlets, it went everywhere. Everybody took note that this had been put into place. Well, yesterday, late in the day, on Monday, after the Easter egg roll had been delayed due to storms, a lot of people were reading into that, because simultaneously Joe Biden had also, besides declaring it National Transgender Day of Visibility, he also declared that the White House Easter decorations could not and would not contain any biblical reference to Resurrection Sunday. So there would be no Jesus, there would be no cross, there would be no tomb, there would be no empty tomb, etc. So with that kind of double whammy, the whole nation lives through Easter Sunday. And then he gets asked after the delayed egg roll yesterday by a member of the media. He said, well, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, had wanted to ask or had claimed that the president had betrayed the real meaning and emphasis of Easter by doing what he had done. And he said, as a devout Catholic, this is something that should have bothered Joe Biden genuinely. When he's asked the question yesterday, he said, I didn't do that. Now, he didn't stop and think about saying I didn't do that. He just came out and said, the speaker is uninformed. I did not do that. But there's an actual declaration. It has the president's signature on it. And it contains the words, I, Joseph R. Biden Jr., do hereby proclaim on March 31st, 2024, as Transgender Day of Visibility. Now, when this little bit of video came out yesterday, the entire universe didn't know what to do. Because if you're a supporter of the current president, you're kind of dumbfounded. How could he flat out deny something that he had to sign in order for it to happen, that had his name in it? And if you are not a strong supporter of the president, you kind of think, well, either he's old and forgetful, I mean, to an astonishingly bad degree, or he's just trying to gaslight the country, because he does that a lot. He tries to tell us that the economy's good when it's bad, and that gas prices are down when they're up. And this is kind of typical mode of operation for him. But it's truly startling that in the course of 4 days, you have a proclamation being signed, the White House social media blanketing all of the social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you name it, everywhere they could, they put it, that they were celebrating the Transgender Day of Visibility, blah, blah, blah. I mean, they made a big, big deal about it all day long. And then, like, as an aftermath, very, very late, almost too late in the day on Sunday, the president then did issue a tweet saying that Dr. Jill Biden and he wished everybody a happy Easter. But that was his only acknowledgement of the holy holiday. And it came very late on Sunday. And then yesterday, asked directly, could not have been more just direct in terms of the question, did you betray the meaning of Easter by declaring Easter Sunday the day of transgender visibility? He flat out says, I didn't do that, even though there's a proclamation with his signature on it. So people that are looking at this are saying, well, wait a minute. Governor DeSantis said this last night. Speaker Johnson said it on news shows last night. But maybe he doesn't know that he did it. Maybe he didn't know what he was signing. Maybe there is something that someone's keeping from him, and these, you know, 20-year-old wokesters that are in the White House are just shuffling papers to him saying, here, sign this. I would be curious to know your thoughts. KMCRadio@gmail.com. Do you think, I'm sorry, that Kevin Show at gmail.com. Do you think that he was aware of what he signed and is just lying now about it? Or do you think he was tricked into signing something he didn't know he was signing? ThatKevinShow@gmail.com with your reply. I would love to know your general thoughts about all of it, because it is astonishing to have this much evidence to be able to say, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. And for him to say, nope, I never did that. I think that's truly outlandish in many ways. We've got a big show for you coming up yet today. Caitlin Wheeler is here from the University of Kentucky. She swam with Riley Gaines, and she is suing the NC2A. Why is she doing that? She'll tell us a little bit later on. KT McFarland with a look at some national security issues. And before we're done, a little March Madness for you. It's all straight ahead. It's Kevin McCullough. Don't go anywhere.
If you're you're 65 or older, you know this. Seeing your healthcare costs go up and up is frustrating. And maybe you were just notified that your Medicare costs are increasing again, or you're just tired of the massive deductibles. Well, here's some good news. There's a program that can really help with this. It's MediShare 65 Plus. It's an affordable, reliable alternative. You can choose any Medicare provider. You get telehealth access anytime you need it. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. MediShare is a Christian healthcare community that aligns with your faith. People actually pray for you. They encourage you. And it's proven, too. It's been going strong for over 30 years now. So call now. You can get one low monthly price for up to 10 years. You're not stuck with increasing costs. You can do something about this today. Call MediShare 65 Plus. Find out how much you can save. Call 833-SHARE-55. That's 833-SHARE-55. 833-SHARE-55.
Evangelist Jerry Savelle will be at Faith Exchange on April 18th at 7 p.m. You don't want to miss this powerful message.
When you walk out here, you should have faith for a 2024 being a year of progression, advancement, promotion, and your highest expectations being fulfilled.
Live in God's blessing, April 18th at 7 p.m. Faith Exchange is located at 95 Leonard Street in New York City. For more information, go to faithexchange.org.
A compelling look at current events and Bible prophecy. Understanding the Times with Jan Markell.
More and more, the world sees Christianity as the problem. There are attacks now on churches, on pro-life centers, which are heavily Christian.
Listen Saturday mornings at 9, Saturday nights at 10.
As we have turned toward immorality, we become ungovernable.
Click on the banner at WMCA.com to sign up for their e-newsletter, Understanding the Times, on AM 570 and 102.3 FM, The Mission, WMCA.
AM 570 and 102.3 FM, The Mission, WMCA. Listen online at WMCA.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Mike Lindell and MyPillow don't have the support of the box stores or the shopping channels the way they used to. It's part of this cancel culture. So they would prefer to just pass the savings directly on to you. And they're having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a problem slash solution, one product company. Since then, with the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products. And to get the word out, they're having a $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. The six-pack of towels set, $25. The four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, $25. For the first time ever, premium MyPillows with the all-new Giza fabric, any size and any loft level, just $25. This amazing offer won't last long, so order right now. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-651-0798. That's MyPillow.com and use promo code WMCA.
This is an urgent announcement for anyone that's $10,000 or more in debt. Before you make another minimum payment, you need to know there are special programs that can completely free you of your debt. Total Financial Freedom can help you become debt-free in months instead of years. Resolve your credit card debt, signature loans, department store cards, internet loans, and timeshares. Call now at 800-533-6605 for a free consultation. For 17 years, Total Financial Freedom has helped thousands get out of debt. You can feel confident when calling because Total Financial Freedom is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and a Christian-owned company. Don't get stuck in the endless cycle of payments. You have the right to get your debt resolved and substantially reduce your monthly payments. Call Christian-owned Total Financial Freedom now at 800-533-6605. That's 800-533-6605. 800-533-6605.
Time for Revival with Pastor Vivian McCallman is now airing every Tuesday night from 9 to 10. Growing from 30 minutes to one whole hour every Tuesday night, you won't want to miss it. Join as Pastor Vivian McCallman brings you the light, love, and guidance you need in a time where most things are uncertain. Time for Revival with the one and only Pastor Vivian McCallman. Now from 9 to 10 every Tuesday night on AM 570 and 102.3 FM, The Mission, WMCA.
What will you leave behind? Will your children inherit more than money? Leave cherished memories and treasured stories they love to tell. Gifts like love and hope that last forever. Become an example of faith and leave well-worn footprints on a path to God. Live for something bigger than the here and now. Listen to the mission and begin your legacy, because there's more to life than money. AM 570, The Mission.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
Welcome back to Times Square. My next guest, I originally met on the set of another show, but her story is so compelling, I said I have to bring her to that Kevin show, because we have to be vigilant, especially in this day and age in which we live, to protect our daughters from dangers that we just a generation ago would have never dreamed they would have been facing. But like her teammate, Riley Gaines, Caitlin Wheeler has seen the downside of this push to basically substitute men for women instead of establishing and declaring the equality of the two sexes. So, ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together and welcome to That Kevin Show for the very first time, former All-American swimmer and SEC champion, Caitlin Wheeler. Hello, Caitlin.
Hi, Kevin. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm glad to get you on my show. Your story is compelling, and I want to delve into it. You've also documented it in a great op-ed piece in the Washington Examiner. I want people to know about that. And I want people to visit your website, takeonthenc2a.com, to further their information knowledge base about what we're about to talk about. But a couple of weeks ago, the NC2A admitted, I believe it was in congressional hearings, that they had done almost zero research into the impact of biological men being in biologically female locker rooms. And for you and Riley and others that have been having this discussion and dialogue with the nation at large for the last few months, what went through your head when you heard that admission come out?
My immediate reaction was really to laugh, because it's absolutely absurd. You know, when asked point blank, they responded by, oh, we hadn't done enough research on this policy that we have in place that is actively and openly discriminating against women on the basis of their sex. And that completely violates Title IX. That's why we've now filed a lawsuit against the NCAA, because they're failing in their most basic jobs, which are to protect the fairness and safety of their athletes and to uphold Title IX. And it has failed miserably in several instances these past couple of years. And they're actively, again, and openly discriminating against women. And so hopefully this will be, I guess, a good step in the right direction. Obviously, there needs to be a lot of change. There needs to be a lot of accountability and responsibility taken by the NCAA. The leaders of the NCAA, they need to start making the right decisions. I think we're dealing with a lot of spineless leadership, not just within the NCAA, but I believe people even in the White House who are currently rewriting Title IX to make it more trans inclusive, which to me at this point just means anti-woman. So it really starts at the top and trickles down into the bottom. And so this is really, I think, a great step and a great opportunity for the NCAA to start taking accountability and protecting its female athletes.
Yeah, it was not funny from a comedic standpoint, but it was very funny from an oddity standpoint that recently on SNL, Rami Youssef, who was the host, said that he wanted to see a woman become president soon. And he said that would be such a great thing if a woman became president. And then he said, next sentence in the monologue, I kid you not, he goes, in fact, it would be really good if a trans woman became president soon. And in my head, I'm like, you just undid everything you said in the statement before. For whatever degree of belief you had about a woman becoming president, to then turn around and say that you actually wanted a male to become president was to put you back in the camp of what you were before you even said that. And Caitlin, hence lies some of the convolution in terms of the thinking and how the messaging on this issue gets discussed. When you have people like Caitlyn Jenner coming out and saying, I am absolutely against this, from the get-go, knowing that Caitlyn's proclivity has been to pursue a trans lifestyle, but doing so from the standpoint that it harms women, I think these voices need to be heard. I think these stories need to be heard. So let's backtrack on your story a little bit. Take us back to the NCAA championships of just a year ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago, I was fortunate enough to be able to make it to the 2022 NCAA meet. Going into that season, about halfway through is when we became aware of an individual named Leah Thomas. We had our midseason rankings come out, which these really are kind of the baseline to see where we will be going into the NCAA meet. And so discovering that this individual, who was ranked first in multiple events by seconds, which in swimming is a lot, swimming is timed all the way down to the hundredth of a second. So to be ranked first in multiple events by multiple seconds is really rare and kind of unheard of in swimming. But finding out that this individual was in fact a male was shocking. But it was also relieving because we were like, the NCAA, there's no way they would allow a man to compete at the women's NCAA meet, when in fact they did. I was there. I watched Thomas take away trophies, titles from Olympians, world record holders, really the phenom female athletes of the sports. And so it was crazy. Honestly, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I couldn't believe that the NCAA would allow this to happen, especially coming from an organization who's supposed to be upholding and supportive of women in Title IX. But not only that, they allowed this man, Leah Thomas, formerly Will Thomas, into our locker rooms. And I was in the locker room. This is not an environment where you're necessarily super comfortable. You know, it's a vulnerable environment. But growing up in the sport of swimming, you kind of get used to being vulnerable. But I was not prepared to be changing and exposing myself and turning around and seeing a 6'4" male a mere 10 feet from me. And that was definitely a humiliating and shocking and violating experience for me. But I really, in that moment, lost all trust for the NCAA, this organization that up until that moment I had put my trust in, had really failed on multiple accounts, not just by allowing this man to participate in our sports, but to be in our locker rooms and violating its female athletes. There were athletes, Kylie Allens, who's also on this lawsuit, one of the 16 female athletes who have put their names in the lawsuit. She went and changed in a janitor's closet, a maintenance closet, because she felt more comfortable changing there than she did her own locker room.
Which is shameful, sad, maddening on so many different levels. And it's interesting because the media doesn't want to play honest with what's happening here from a very they would argue kind of from a principled standpoint. Your teammate, Riley Gaines, was on with one of the cable channels recently. And she told a similar story to what you just told us. I believe she was there with you guys, actually. And one of the panelists from the left said, well, would you have trouble if there were lesbians in the locker room? And her response was, no, because they would be women. And women around women is what we're like. There's such a twisted kind of thing in people's heads about why they are perceiving that you ladies are upset about this. They don't even come to the common understanding of what it is that you're actually wanting. And I think it has to do with allowing facts to not be really acknowledged as facts anymore. And the most basic of all of them are that God made men and women different. That doesn't make them less than equal to each other, but we are different in who we are, and that distinction has a very meritorious purpose, at least in my mind. We're coming back with Caitlin Wheeler here on That Kevin Show. Don't go away. Hi, Kevin McCullough. When you think about getting up in the morning and wandering to your refrigerator, do you ever have any doubt that there's going to be something in there? I don't. I mean, I'm being candid. God's been really good. My kids, when they wake up, they know that there's going to be some breakfast cereal, some milk. And on Saturdays, Dad's going to make them eggs, sometimes to order, whatever they ask for. It's just what I do. I like to make the scrambled or the fried or whatever they want. I enjoy giving that to them. But I'm also mindful that there are children that woke up this morning that don't have a refrigerator. They don't have a home, and they don't have anything to eat. That's the kids that are being reached by Food for the Poor. And this next week, we are going to start feeding them food that will save their lives. I hope you'll join us. Call 855-907-4673 if you'd like to give now.
My name is Imran Ansari, and I lead the Civil Litigation Division of Idala, Bertuna & Kamens, the preeminent New York litigation law firm. Have you been injured in a construction site accident? Have you fallen from a scaffold, ladder, or height while on the work site? If the answer is yes, then you may be entitled to significant monetary compensation for your injuries. In most cases, the law in New York favors you as the plaintiff if injured in a fall while working on someone else's property. It is important you speak to an attorney right away to make sure your rights are protected. Myself and our team of experienced trial attorneys will never settle for less than what you deserve. We're always ready to go to court to fight for you and seek justice. If you or a loved one have been injured in an accident, don't delay. Call Idala, Bertuna & Kamens at 212-486-0011, 212-486-0011, or visit us at idalalaw.com. Idala, Bertuna & Kamens, fighting for justice, fighting for you.
Are you ready?
There is a daze of deception like a fog that is sweeping over the world right now in the narratives that are out there.
That's Pastor Jack Hibbs from Real Life Radio warning about the rise of deception.
Jesus said there's going to be absolute radical deception in the last days.
You can download a chapter of his new book, Days of Deception, when you enter to win an iPad pre-filled with content from Pastor Jack, including the complete digital copy of Days of Deception. Just log on to our station website and use the keyword deception. There will be three first prize winners of an Apple iPad, also loaded with four exclusive behind-the-book videos to give you a deeper dive into how to live in the days of deception and more. Enter to win one of three grand prizes and receive a download chapter of Days of Deception.
Click on the banner at WMCA.com and listen to Real Life Radio weekday afternoons at 4.
This is Albert Mohler for townhall.com. You can't make this up. The White House released a statement from President Biden proclaiming March 31st, Easter Sunday, as 2024 Transgender Day of Visibility. Biden bragged about his support for LGBTQ political goals and declared to the transgender community, "You are America, and my entire administration and I have your back." And of course, an explosion of controversy quickly ensued. But there's a deeper reality here that conservatives, and Christians in particular, must recognize. Yes, all this was an affront to Christianity, to be sure. We should pause for a moment to recognize that despite the best efforts of LGBTQ activists, the White House, and the cultural elites, it's not working. At the end of the day, biology trumps ideology, and the very real damage done to human beings in the name of the transgender movement is increasingly undeniable. President Biden may declare Transgender Day of Visibility, but he can't make that visibility work as they intend, and we know why.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. Obliterating confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Welcome back to Times Square. Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. I don't tell this story very often on air, but in part of my young adulthood, I was an assistant coach on the college level for basketball, the sport of basketball. And I actually started my coaching days in the women's division of NCAA Division III level schools, and eventually moved over to the men's division as a senior assistant in a couple of different programs. And Caitlin Wheeler rejoins us, former competitive swimmer, All-American swimmer, and SEC champion at the University of Kentucky. And Caitlin, the reason I bring this up is one of the ways we helped the women's team get better and faster and stronger is that one of my jobs was to go and find intramural level players of the male sex that were actually pretty good and quite good against people that were slower and not as well developed as they were. And it helped the girls learn how to play defense and offense and ball movement and shooting and rebounding and all of it much, much better. Now, we had to go into those practices when they would scrimmage, and we had to say, you're not allowed to throw elbows. You're not allowed to play against them as though you would be playing against fellow males because they're not males. But the idea was that we could take intramural level players, which were significantly less skilled than our varsity players, and put them into the varsity women's scrimmage for half of a practice one day, and you would see the obvious difference between men and women. It wasn't that the women played more poorly. It was just they had a different entire ethos and universe. Now, this helped our girls get better in practice, so when they played against fellow women, they did quite well, especially against teams that were a little bit bigger and faster than them. They did better than other teams would have normally have done. But does this not prove that when you look at the two sexes, that there are distinctions that need to be acknowledged, and that Title IX actually was set up to acknowledge so that fairness could be had?
That's a great example. I mean, speaking from my own experience, I swam against males for my entire career in practice. It didn't matter if they were great or super talented. Gosh, it could have been below average, mediocre male athletes that I was competing against, but I still knew that they could kick my butt any day of the week. They didn't even have to be in shape at the time. And I could be in my best shape, and I know that they could still blow me out of the water. And so really, it's crazy that we're being accepted or forced to deny, like you said, logic, reasoning, and common sense. There's a reason why there's two categories. There's a reason why men and women, gosh, even going down to like being prescribed different medications, it goes really in so many different areas. And the fact that we're being asked to deny the truth, to deny reality, and to deny common sense, you know, they tell us, look at the science. We're looking at the science, and the science is in our favor here. And they're ignoring that blatantly. And so that's why it's just crazy that we're having to even have a lawsuit and to have these discussions.
I think part of the problem in all of it, though, is that advancement for women is in decline because this is interrupting that process. And let me just give you a practical example. Governor Gavin Newsom in California has mandated that tampon machines be put in all the middle school and high school boys' bathrooms. Caitlin, there's no use for them to be there in any way, shape, or fashion. Why are we trying to force fit this idea that is anti-science, certainly anti-common sense, as you said, and make all of society adjust to it, as opposed to taking the people that perceive themselves to be different in this way and help them adjust to what reality says, as opposed to what their mind says? It seems to me that the whole diagram is opposite of what it needs to be.
Yeah, it's to me, frankly, really evil what's happening. I think children really are being targeted here. Like you said, they're being forced to swallow lies, really, and confusing children. You know, our leadership is failing children. Our parents are also failing children. They're not protecting and their children in the ways that they should. Unfortunately, they're afraid as well because they're being told that if they don't affirm and their children, that they'll have blood on their hands. Their
or
children,
they'll take them away from them. In a couple
exactly.
of states, we have that legislation. All right, real quickly, take on the NCAA.com is the website. This is where you can find out more information about the lawsuit that Caitlin and her teammates and others are party to. Take on the NCAA.com. Take on the NCAA.com. All one word. Go and support the efforts. Caitlin Wheeler, thank you for sharing some time with us. We will have you back, but I appreciate you standing strong and being a voice of common sense.
Thank you so much.
You got it. Kevin McCullough coming right back from New York. Don't go away.
If you're open any cell in your body, a cell, and unwind the DNA. It's 6 feet tall.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and that's Lee Strobel describing the amazing ways God has uniquely designed each one of us.
And here's the thing. Embedded in that DNA is a four-letter chemical alphabet that spells out the precise assembly instructions for every protein out of which you're made. So in other words, just like English uses a 26-letter alphabet to spell out words, DNA uses a four-letter chemical alphabet to explain how to create us.
How to make a heart, a liver, exactly. A skeletal system.
And it's just, there is more information, there are more words in every cell in your body than in 200 years of the Sunday New York Times. In every cell in your body. And the question is, where did that come from?
Hear more evidence from Lee that God is real when you stop by familyminute.org.
We are proud. Proud to serve. To serve our country. To serve our local communities. To wear the uniform. To be a soldier. To serve abroad when and where duty calls. We are ready to stand with our brothers and sisters to defend, to serve, to fight. We are always ready. We're always there. We are the New York Army National Guard.
Sponsored by the New York Army National Guard.
You aren't the only one who enjoys listening to Salem Media Group.
Everybody at Salem Media Group, you've been incredible. You really are, and you're very popular. More popular than you would even know.
We'd say you're in pretty good company.
And in Salem, what the job you do is great. I'm telling you, Salem has really done a fantastic job. I just want to thank you. You have courage. You have really courage, because I know it's not easy. Congratulations.
AM 570, The Mission.
Download the AM 570 The Mission mobile app on iTunes, Google Play, or listen on WMCA.com, TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Hello, this is Alistair Begg inviting you to join me and my friends from Salem Media Group on the Deeper Faith Cruise to Canada and New England this coming September. We'll enjoy the beautiful fall scenery along the coastline as we make our way from Boston up through the Gulf of St. Lawrence and over to Quebec City. Our voyage will include stops in Rockland, Maine, Nova Scotia, and Prince Edward Island. We'll be visiting charming villages, touring historic lighthouses, dining on fresh seafood, and along the way we'll have the opportunity to enjoy a wonderful time of Christian fellowship as we learn from God's Word together. That's the Deeper Faith Canada and New England Cruise, September 2024. Learn more and book your ticket online at deeperfaithcruise.com or by calling 855-565-5519. I hope you'll come along.
The Your Daily Prayer podcast provides timeless truths from God's Word to guide you through every day. Prayers for your hardest days and happiest ones. Prayers for when you wake up and when you lay down. We want to help you experience a richer prayer life today. Download Your Daily Prayer podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Or go to yourdailyprayer.com. That's yourdailyprayer.com.
What's Right, What's Left, weeknights at 10.
The Bible teaches hate the sin, but love the sinner. No, hate what God hates and love what God loves. Sin is missing the mark. Sin is the transgression of God's laws and ordinances. Judge not, lest ye be judged. It says, but when you judge, judge with righteous judgment. The whole world is judging us continuously, but their judgment means nothing, because only God's judgment is what stands.
What's Right, What's Left, weeknights at 10 on WMCA.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. If it's happening in New York or across the globe, learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
And welcome. It is Tuesday, and that means it's time to check in once again with KT McFarland, our very own national security expert here at Kevin McCullough Radio. We're so grateful that she shares her insights with us every single week. And KT, one of the things that I wanted to discuss with you is the situation. There's a new report that's out, and we've got depleted morale, low recruitment numbers. We've got all kinds of things going on as it relates to the readiness of the military. And I saw one announcement yesterday that even mentioned that carriers are going to have to rotate slower around the globe for their assignments because of some of the woes we have in terms of allocation of spending here. As a longtime Pentagon official, what is your reaction to our state of readiness?
It's exactly what we had in the late 1970s with Jimmy Carter, and the situation is playing out the same way. So we had the Vietnam War in the early 70s, a failure, a forever war. The United States turned against the military. The political leadership turned against the military. So by late 1978, we had a military that really was not functioning very well at all. For every tank we had that worked, we had one sitting right next to it on the field that had to be used for spare parts. We had pilots who weren't certified to fly because they didn't have enough flying hours. And then we had ships that really couldn't even be manned because we had such low recruitment. So it was a lot of the same things for a lot of the same reasons, weak political leadership coming out of a failed forever war. But it was turned around overnight with Ronald Reagan because, number one, he increased defense spending so that we adequately funded our forces and we had the readiness issues and the maintenance issues solved and the training issues. Number two, he gave a sense to the men and women who wanted to join the military but had been discouraged from doing it by Jimmy Carter that, well, no, this is a good time to join the military. Be patriotic about it. America loves its people again, and it really loves the people who defend America. So he put pride back into the uniform. And then in a third way, he didn't engage in sort of feckless foreign wars. Reagan was one of the only presidents we had in modern times that never went to war. He had a little two-week war in Grenada. It wasn't even really a war. And yet the confidence that anybody has now in the Biden administration, I mean, my gosh, we could be at war in three different places overnight. And we just had the failed Afghanistan war where President Biden pulled out so quickly that we basically handed trillions of dollars and a country over to the Taliban, our mortal enemies. So is it bad? Yes, it's extremely bad. Can it be fixed? Yes, it can be fixed. It can be fixed very quickly with the right president.
Well, I am hopeful that that is going to happen in November, but at the levels that we're talking about right now, I'm just curious, and I'm partly selfishly motivated for this. My brother-in-law is on a carrier in forward active duty right now, and he can't tell us a whole bunch of stuff that's going on, but they are not, let me just put it this way, operating to what even his familiarity of former tours and standards were. And it has to do with, I believe, budget and operational capacity in terms of money and what they need to do. And it seems like if we're in, I don't know if people think we're in the war with Ukraine and Russia or not. It feels like we fully are invested in it from sitting on this side of the water. We certainly have a stake in the Israeli-Hamas conflict, and you've got Iran and North Korea and others that would love to just, and China, that would love to just jump in and create additional chaos at this moment, and it doesn't seem like we have anything near a steady hand at the till.
No, we do not, and that's why the period that we're entering now is one of maximum vulnerability, because the foreign, the countries that you've just mentioned, Iran, Russia, China, North Korea, they're used to dealing with Joe Biden, and they're basically pushed him around time after time after time in the 3 years that he's been in office. And they've got to look and say, well, if Donald Trump comes in, I just returned from a visit to Lithuania where I met with Ukrainian and Baltic officials. And the feeling in Europe is that Donald Trump is a sure thing, that he's definitely going to be elected and it's definitely going to be a change. So if that's the prevailing sense right now, in Beijing and in Moscow and Tehran and in Pyongyang, they're saying, whoa, we may have to face Donald Trump. He's one mean guy. We've dealt with him before, and he's tough. And we don't want to have to deal with him again, and we've got an opportunity now with Joe Biden. So I think that we're in a window of, like, a closing window of opportunity for the bad guys to take advantage of the United States. But it's not just the money. It's not just the maintenance. And that what your brother-in-law is seeing in the Navy of the poor maintenance of the ships and not enough ships. but it's also the attitude of the senior leadership of the military. It's much more about being woke than it is, and diversity and DEI, than it is about, like, let's have training exercises where we figure out how to kill an enemy that's trying to kill Americans. So the emphasis has changed as well. It's not one of let's hone our warfighting capabilities.
Well, I think the reason people enlist and get involved in a military career is because they want to serve the country. And at least on the male side of the population, I think they want to do it because they do want to protect things and kill bad guys and break things when called upon to do so. That's a very interesting insight, KT. I always appreciate it. Let me shift gears a little bit. There's rumor of more meetings, maybe in Cairo this time, between Israel and the Arab powers that are supporting the Palestinians. What is your take on where we are with that conflict specifically?
Well, I think that the main division here is between Israel and the Biden administration. If the Biden administration looks like they're going to abandon Israel, and that has not just PR tactics about it, but it's a problem for Israel if we stop sharing intelligence, if we don't backfill the military equipment the Israelis are using. But I think Trump had the best approach of all when he said, look, Israel, finish the job, but do it quickly, that nobody has an appetite for a prolonged conflict in Gaza. So Israel, if you've been holding back, if for some reason you're not going after the senior leadership of Hamas, do it now and do it quickly, because I don't think the United States or the world is going to have an appetite for a prolonged conflict. And, you know, Hamas knows this, and so does Iran. You know, they never can beat Israel on the battlefield. So they know, how do they beat Israel? They beat Israel in the court of public opinion, and that's what they're going for. The longer this drags on, the more they win, the bad guys win in the court of public opinion.
Last shorty, Donald Trump, he's already kind of talking to world leaders through the megaphone of his own platform. Are they listening?
They've got to be terrified. As I said, I just got back from Europe, and the prevailing attitude is that Trump is going to win. So they're paying a lot.
So he's already impacting national policy now, and we should be thankful for it.
We should be thankful for it, but we should also understand that we're entering a period of maximum vulnerability.
KT McFarland, always appreciate your insights.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And paid for by America First Tax Group. Attention, if you or your business is behind in filing your tax returns, or if you owe over $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS, please listen carefully. The IRS does not joke around and will not stop their collection efforts. If you're tired of the IRS letters, levies, liens, or wage garnishments and would like to get a fresh start, we can help. Due to the financial hardships in the country, the IRS is making it easier than ever to settle tax problems for those who owe more than $10,000. We can help settle your delinquent tax problems, end all collections, and may even reduce your back taxes significantly. Even if you can't afford to pay your back taxes, you can still get the help you need. We've helped thousands of taxpayers just like you, but you must call 800-391-8718 today to stop your tax problem from getting worse. The information is free, and the help is real. Call 800-391-8718. That's 800-391-8718. Again, 800-391-8718.
Kevin Cottrell, we're talking with Dan Buttafuoco of Buttafuoco & Associates. And I know you personally, as a Christian, a person of faith, Buttafuoco & Associates won't settle for what's good for you and the firm. You're focused on serving the client.
We always settle cases which are based on what's best for the client. There are many lawyers out there who will settle a large personal injury case because they need to make payroll. We will not do that. We will only settle a case if it's right for the client, and we're very sensitive to the needs of the client, and we understand that this is a one and only opportunity for them to make good on the injuries that they've sustained and to move forward with their lives. And so it's very important that they get the maximum amount that they are entitled to from this personal injury litigation, whether it be malpractice or product liability or just a routine car accident.
Call the offices of Buttafuoco & Associates at 800-669-4878 and have them evaluate your case. That's 800-669-4878, 800-NOW-HURT, 800-NOW-HURT.
Want more AM 570 The Mission? Take us on the go with our Listen Live feature at am570themission.com or download our AM 570 The Mission app today. Just go to the iPhone App Store or Google Play Store and search AM 570 The Mission.
What you need to know when you need it.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
And welcome back, Kevin McCullough. Final few minutes on the Tuesday edition of Kevin McCullough Radio. Again, for anything you need from me, and we try to make it all free. It's never behind a paywall. You can go to thatkevinshow.com, thatkevinshow.com. I've got some snazzy merch. I've got hats and some coffee mugs and other things. You can get those at thatkevinstore.com. And if you would like to try to win one of those mugs, send an email to thatkevinshow.com and just put mug in the subject line. We're going to draw a winner each weekend for every weekend left in the year of 2024. So every weekend, I will announce on my social media the winner of the That Kevin Show mug. Would love to send you one if you end up winning. But just send me an email. The body can be your address, and tell me which mug you would prefer, the black or the white one. And send it to thatkevinshow@gmail.com. Finally today, Caitlin Clark had 41 points last night. You may not know who that is. She is the all-time greatest women's basketball player at the college level. She took over the career points scoring. She won this year because of how deep they've gotten into the tournament. She has taken the new record for all-time most assists in NCAA postseason play for a woman, etc. And she's having a great year. And I'm kind of pulling for her. I hope she goes all the way and wins the championship. They're now in the Final Four. The Iowa Hawkeyes are against the other three women's teams that are there. But true to form, last night, after she put on this dazzling display of 41 points and a bunch of rebounds and 12 assists, somebody on social media popped up and said, you know, Caitlin Clark would be competitive in the NBA. And I'm like, man, do we often just keep missing the mark? Caitlin Clark would not last a day in the normal NBA, the National Basketball Association, as a pro. At best, she would be a bench player, a deep bench player, for one of the men's teams that's in the NBA, if she made the team at all. Kev, how come you say that? Well, for one thing, I coached college basketball in the men and women's division. I can tell you the difference in speed is stunning. The difference in strength is overwhelming. She's never faced anything half as fast as a men's college team, much less a team of professionals that would all have been the best, the very best player on their team in high school and college. It's kind of like when somebody says, oh, well, you know, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish or the USC Trojans or, you know, Georgia Bulldogs or Alabama, when they're really good in college football one year, they could play in the NFL. No, they couldn't. Maybe two or three of their guys at the most would make an NFL team. But the NFL is stocked with people that at every position were the best, you know, player on their team growing up. And I don't know why we even have to have this conversation. Isn't it enough? Isn't it great that Caitlin Clark can be a woman and accomplish what she can do amongst women and be considered the greatest of all time? That's my thought. I'm Kevin McCullough. We will see you again next time.